stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny.
From my cold dead hands, you can come and take it. Step on my land, we'll see how far you make it. I'll help you understand the dialectic. Disassemble the plan and then connect it. So now it's problem, reaction. This time it's our solution.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. A big, huge, warm welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Kev Baker Show, right here on truthfrequencyradio.com. I'm joined tonight by my good friend and regular co-host, John Sinclair. Tonight, our other co-host, Marty, he's taking a well-deserved night off. He's in the chat room. He'll probably field any questions that are out there. And tonight, John, we're going to be joined by our regular guest now, Jordan Maxwell. So are you looking forward to this, John?
Yeah, I have been, Kev. This one's really good again. Wait to hear what Jordan's got to say. Yeah, it should be good.
Always a brilliant show when we've got Mr. Maxwell on. And before I unleash Jordan on the listeners, just a brief bio here. That's Jordan Maxwell continues as a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of occult religious philosophy. His interest in these subjects began as far back as 1959, and he has served for 3.5 years as the religious editor of Truth Seeker magazine, America's oldest three-thought journal since 1873. His work exploring the hidden foundations of Western religions and secret societies creates enthusiastic responses from audiences around the world. His work on the subject of secret societies, both ancient and modern, and their symbols, has fascinated audiences around the world for decades. And that is why it gives me immense pleasure, and it's also an honour, to welcome back to the show researcher Jordan Maxwell. How are you doing, Jordan?
Well, thank you very much again for having me on. It's always good to be with you. And it's quite an interesting world we live in. It's getting more interesting by the day as things begin to culminate and come together. There's so many things we could talk about, but I've got to a point now because of my personal circumstances of having my website stolen and so many other things stolen from me. I can't seem to do my work without someone coming in and going behind my back and stealing everything I own and trying to keep me from doing what I do. And I've been struggling with this for many, many years. So at this point, I've come to a point in my life where I wish only to put out information that I feel is profoundly important for people to know, and do it in such a way as I'm not asking for anything. I ask for help, of course, but I'm not demanding anything. I just want to be able to put out the research and the work that I've been doing for so many years, because I know that there are so many things that people do not know that's causing all the confusion in the world, causing all of the heartache and tragedy, because people just don't realize what's going on and what the, you know, how things work. And the more we change, the more we stay the same. And so the powers that be are basically the same that have always been. And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And nobody seems to understand how these things work. So at this point, I'm not interested to talk about corruption in government and banking. I've been doing that for 45, 46 years now on radio. And I'm not interested to talk about corruption of mankind's governments and systems and institutions, because I feel that that's something that people should already know. If you don't know by now what's going on, then I don't need to tell you anything. You just need to go back and watch a ball game.
Jordan, you spoke to the fact that you've lost so many websites over the years and so many spoof websites have come up. Where is it people can actually go now to find your work and to show you support if they can?
Well, I appreciate that. There's only one place on the web that I have left. Everything's been stolen from me, so I only have one place left, and that is the Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W. Very simple, jordanmaxwellshow.com. There are other websites out there with my name on them, but they are either stolen from me or you know, not me at all, and people are just using my name to draw attention to their website. So anything that you see on the web that has my name, Jordan Maxwell, attached to it, the only thing I have out there is Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W.
So to all the listeners out there, if all the listeners want to take a quick note of that, it's jordanmaxwellshow.com. Because when you do Google Jordan's name, there is a whole host of websites come up. And as Jordan says, these are people who are basically, in no uncertain terms, ripping the man off for the research which he's done over the years. So the least we can do is absolutely blitz social media with the proper site to the proper links to Jordan's work, where he will get rewarded for it. Sorry, Jordan, I just had to get that out there. But we were talking pre-show in emails and things, and we were talking about the Vatican, sir. Now, when I look at the planet, I look at Washington being the military arm of this New World Order. I look at London as being the banking arm. And obviously, you have to go to Rome to look at what is the religious kind of arm of this trifecta, for lack of a better term. Would that be a fair assumption with these three power cities?
I think so. I think that's probably pretty close to accurate, because, but I think that the first two are actually connected directly to the third one. I think the Vatican, or the religious faction of the world that we live in today, the religious faction is the first and earliest and most powerful presence on the earth, is the religious, because that goes back thousands of years, way before the Babylonians, way before the Sumerians. It goes back, you know, God knows how many countless thousands of years ago. Religion dominated the world, and it dominated the world under India and then Egypt, and the Middle East, and Greece, and Rome, and the modern day. So the modern day military political establishment is Johnny come lately. They're rather late developments, but the religion part of this has been around for thousands of years, and it has given birth to the world we live in today. The political, the banking, the educational, the governmental systems of the world that we live in today, all around the world, are based on a far, far more ancient foundation of religion. People don't know that. People don't see the connections between their modern day world and the ancient religions of the prehistoric past. But it's there. All you have to do is begin to look, and you'll begin to see so much of what your government, wherever it is you happen to live, the symbols in your flag, the symbols on your coats of arms, your military establishment emblems and symbols, and especially your corporations, your logos, and terms that are used in education, it's really everywhere if you just know where to look.
And Jordan, I believe you've actually been to the Vatican City, and I've heard you describing that the symbols on show there, it's blatant, it's all about totalitarian control. Could you speak to the symbols that are around the Vatican City?
Well, you know, when I was there, I actually went to Europe as a guest of a very, very powerful person, who, very, very, extremely powerful person in this world, that I will not name, but they asked me to come. They wanted to meet me, and I was shocked when I found out who it was. And so for 7.5 weeks I stayed in Europe, and I traveled all over Europe. This person was very generous and allowed me to go wherever I wanted to go. And so we went to Europe, we went to the Vatican, we went to Rome, all through Italy, and When we got to the Vatican, of course, the day we were there, you know, there are so many companies there in the area, in the Vatican Square. There are so many people there who represent companies. They've got signs saying that they have tour services, tour guides. And so, you know, if you're looking for a tour guide, well, they're everywhere, all over the Vatican Square. They're all walking around with little stickers and signs saying that they're tour guides. And then there are companies there, too, on this, you know, with their signs out. And so one young man, he's a German guy, I'd say boy, because he was about 25 years old, very nice looking, very nice German young man, approached us and said, was asked if we were looking for a tour guide. And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we are. So he said, well, I'm a tour guide, and I'll do that for you. So we paid him. But as it turns out, it happened to be an extraordinary good tour guide. He took us around the back of the Vatican. He said, I've got all the connections in the Vatican, and so I'll take you on a better tour than anybody else, which he did. We went around. We had to drive all the way around to the back of the Vatican, and we went in the back entrance, where they had to have security gates and everything to allow us to get in the back way. And I was amazed that he was able to pull this off. So we went in the back of the Vatican, and then he told the guy there, the security, that I was like 70 something years old, and that I needed a wheelchair. So they immediately ran and got a wheelchair for me, and so I got a tour of the whole Vatican from the side that tourists don't see. I saw everything the tourists see, but I also saw the rest of the Vatican that very few people get a chance to see, and it was an extraordinary experience. We went through back areas where they were redoing paintings and where they have sculpturings that they haven't put out on display yet. We went all through the Vatican. It was an extraordinary experience seeing everything, but having a really important tour guide that was able to get us in to see things that most people aren't able to. And so, it was quite an experience. It was very, very much in your face, the power and the majesty of that place. But I know there's something, because I'm sensitive, I think, in that way. I noticed that in the evening, we went back after the tour, we stayed around, and then we came back that evening and wandered around the Vatican at night. And I noticed that in the Vatican at night has a very, very powerful presence, a spiritual presence that you can feel. It's in the air. I don't know how to explain it, but it was a very ominous feeling of dark political, religious power. And I could feel the presence there. It's just very difficult to explain what I mean, but you get it. It was, for lack of a better term, really spooky, I think the term would be. It really kind of spooky and scary, because you realize that this is something that is very, very old presence on the earth, that millions of people have died in wars because of this religion. How many countless millions of people have died in the presence of this organization in the Middle Ages, the papacy, world wars, etc. So I think it was quite an experience.
I was thinking, Jordan, maybe that strange feeling that you had was maybe actually what goes on in the catacombs under the Vatican, because I'm sure there's quite a lot happened down there over the years.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. It's lots and lots of stuff is going on in the Vatican behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. And so that's another whole story. But, you know, I think it bears retelling. I've said this before, maybe even on your show, but I think it's important because it makes a point. And that is, when I was a kid,
Jordan, you still there? Well, folks, it looks like we've lost Jordan. I'll just try and reconnect him quickly. Jordan, John, this is fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. I didn't know it was at the Vatican. Yeah, that's a new one, because I would have loved to have seen this.
I guess we dropped the...
We certainly did. We must have been annoying the Swiss guard at the Vatican City, Jordan. They got their hackers onto us there. But you were saying about when you were younger.
Yeah, when I was a kid, because I was born and raised Catholic like so many others, and we had something called confirmation. And so at confirmation, you confirmed at about 8 or 9 years old. And so the nuns told us in school the day before the confirmation service, the day before we were told in school that the nun said, now tomorrow night after the confirmation service is over, if the bishop asks you children, he might possibly ask you children if you have any questions about your faith. And so if he does that, if he asks you, just remember, you don't have any questions. You do not ask any questions. You sit quiet. And so that next night after the service was over, the bishop said to the children, now that you are confirmed Catholics, if you have any questions, I'll try and answer them for you. And the children knew not to say anything. So I stood up to make sure everybody saw me. I stood up and I said, yes, I have a question. I said, my father works with torches, like a welder. And I said, could I take a torch and burn an angel? If there was an angel standing next to me, could I take a torch and burn this angel? And would it hurt him? And the bishop said, well, no. And I said, why not? And he said, well, you know, fire is a natural thing. It's a natural phenomenon. You have to have wood or plastic or paper or something to burn, because it's a physical thing. But you can't burn a spirit. And I said, why not? And they said, well, you can't burn a spirit. That's all there is to it. A spirit is something that has nothing physical to it, so there's nothing to burn. So I said, well, if you can't burn a spirit, why am I worried about going to hell when my spirit will burn forever if you can't burn a spirit? And nobody really said anything. It was very, very quiet for a moment. And I remember the priest, a red-headed priest, young priest, looked at me and pointed at me and said, sit down. And so I sat down and I realized at that moment that the bishop and all the people and all the adults in the church had no answer for something so simple as that. So when you look at this idea of burning in hell, if your spirit's going to burn forever, you can't burn a spirit. There's nothing there to burn. Period.
I was brought up Catholic myself, Jordan, and unfortunately I wasn't as young as you when I realised what it was all about. But when I did, trying to convince somebody, who makes up the rules? Who makes up that you have to genuflect when you go into a chapel? Who brought that into the equation? Who said you have to turn around and shake hands when you're in the chapel? What did these rules just come in over the period of time?
I know. Well, there's so many incongruities and things which do not make any sense until you start looking into it and finding out where these ideas have come from. So I got called in I got called into the to the Monsignors after the bishop left town. They called me and they wanted to discipline me as a little kid, and so they called me and so I went over to the church. This is my local church in my hometown, and the Monsignor was a very, very strict old man, and and I never saw him ever without a cigarette. He lived on cigarettes. And so I went in, and he was in bed. He was very sick at the time, and there were two other priests on both sides of the bed, and the other third priest is the one that brought me in to talk to the Monsignor. So I'm in his bedroom, and there are three priests there, and he's telling me that I have caused a lot of trouble, and I'm talking too much, and I have caused people to question the faith, et cetera, and that, you know, telling me all the terrible things that I have done. And he opened up the drawer to a dresser sitting right next to him. So he just leaned over and opened up the drawer, and it was a very deep drawer, and it was filled with cigarettes. Thousands of cigarettes. And he reached over and picked up another cigarette and lit off one cigarette off the other. And so, hold on just a minute.
Nope.
So he leaned over and got another cigarette and began to tell me all about what problems I had caused, etc. And I blew up at him as a kid. I totally blew up and rant and raved at him, called him every name I could think of, and I told him, nobody threatens me. I'm tired of your threats. And so I really unloaded on him. I had no desire to put up with his stupidity any longer. And that was it. So I said what I had to say and let him know where I stood, and then I walked out. I'm just a kid. And I walked out and slammed the door. about 2 weeks later, that Monsignor passed away. He died. I think that's interesting.
Wow. The part that really always caught me, that it was, I could pray to God and tell God things, but when I had to confess my sins, I had to do it to an actual person. I don't know what that was all about.
That's CIA, NSA. That's political. You know, you don't need to talk to another person to get, you know, that's something maybe that was believed a long time ago, but people have evolved enough now to realize that's a bunch of bull. You don't need to talk to another person so they can, you know, relieve you of the responsibility of your sins. You have to talk to your own creator. You don't need to talk to anybody else. So, but anyway, the church, as I began to realize, did not have any real answers to anything. And it was more of a social arrangement, a social club. And so I realized that going to church was a social arrangement, had nothing. And the one thing about churches that has always amazed me, that it's overwhelming to anyone who knows or thought about it. But that is, every church I have ever been in, I used to go to Protestant churches all the time with my friends in school. Kids were always inviting each other to go to their church. So I was always open to go to anybody's church. I didn't care. I wanted to learn. And one thing I noticed about every single church I ever went to was that the churches never taught you anything. Nothing. Zero. There was singing and dancing and music and social entertainment and basketball and all kinds of entertainment for young people and entertainment for the older people with bingo and all kinds of entertainments for people, but I was amazed Nobody in any of the churches I ever went to when I was growing up, no one ever entertained an intelligent question about nothing. Period.
Jordan,
not one single time that I ever have an opportunity to talk to anyone seriously about anything serious, period. That was amazing to me.
Well, Jordan, I must admit, growing up, when I looked at the church, there was so much wrong with it, in my opinion. One thing I didn't agree with, even as a young guy, was the fact that they would ask you for money, some kind of offering, and also that if you didn't adhere to the rules set out, basically you were ostracized, you weren't welcome there. And I always thought to myself that if there was a God, then surely he wouldn't be as harsh as that, and you wouldn't need to go to a building to worship him. And when I look at religion now as I've got older, all I see it being is a tool of division. Is that why it really is out there?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I mean, if you look at the system, as I said, the religious system is the basis for our political systems. And the Vatican is a classic example. The Vatican is actually a political movement. It's not religious at all. It is a political movement. It dominates world politics. It dominates the world. And I had, many years ago, I probably have told you this before.
Well, Jordan, that's actually the music for the break there. So listeners, yeah, Stay tuned. We'll be back after these short messages. And remember, folks, right after this show, it's Joe Joseph with the Freedom Link.
I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny.
From my cold dead hands, you can come and take it. Step on my land, we'll see how far you make it. I'll help you understand the dialectic. Disassemble the plan and then connect it. So now it's problem, reaction.
Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Kev Baker Show. That first half went absolutely flying by. We're joined tonight by Jordan Maxwell, and before the break we were taking quite a deep, close look at religion, and in particular, Catholicism and the Vatican. Now, just so that people don't think we're ganging up on any one religion in particular, I think in this half of the show, it would be fair if we take a look at Islam. Now, Islam and the Muslim faith is something which has always been portrayed on the news as being a cult of death. We see all these terrorist atrocities and stuff like that. However, we're going to take a closer look at this with Jordan now. So, Jordan, we were speaking through the break about the Islamic faith. Would you like to speak about that?
Oh, yes. There's so much needs to be said about the Islamic religion and where it came from. You know, if you're going to get to the bottom of any subject, no matter what the subject is, if you're going to research and get to the bottom of any subject, you always have to start at the beginning. Go back to the very beginning. You can't get to the bottom of anything if you don't start where it began. And so when you find out that Islam borrowed, I would say a good 90% of the Islamic teachings were borrowed directly from the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures. And it's all actually based on, and the Hebrew and Christian scriptures are based on the Hindu. So that in point of fact, the Islamic, Christian and Jewish religions are all basically based on Hinduism. And it's extraordinarily interesting how all of these things evolved over the years and began to mutate, I suppose the word is. As they begin to mutate and evolve from one concept to another through time for thousands of years, things changed and more was added, some things were dropped. But basically, Hinduism is the basis for Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And Islam, being the latest development, has borrowed so much what they have from Christianity and Judaism. So there's a couple of points I want to make that's very important. If you have a pencil and paper, you need to write this down. There's actually two or three books. There's two of them in particular. That's part one and part two. It's a two-part book, and it's a little over 1,200 pages between the two books. We're talking about over 600 pages each book. Extraordinary book written about the research of where the Islamic religion really came from. The book is called Moon, M-O-O-N, Moon hyphen, and the letter O, and hyphen theism, T-H-E-I-S-M, Moon O theism. And I think it's probably one of the most extraordinary books ever published. It's, like I said, it's a two-volume set. It's you can order it from your bookstore. It's so incredible because it's over 600 pages each book, and it is so minutely footnoted. It has every single page is filled with footnotes on where these ideas have come from, where it originated, and what the Kaaba is, what the symbols in Islam really mean, where they came from. So the book is called Moon O Theism. It's not the only book, but it's about the best I've found. There are many, many other good reference books on the where Islam has really come from. So it's a strange story about how something so overwhelming and obvious as moon worship in the ancient Arabic world. The ancient Arabs, for thousands of years before Muhammad would ever have lived, a thousand years before Muhammad ever lived, the Islamic world was involved with moon worship. And then when I hear that, I've heard so many times the Islamic spokesmen and teachers talk about, well, you know, Allah is mentioned in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I said, well, of course Allah is mentioned in the Old Testament of the Bible. That's where you get Allah from. It's from the Jewish Old Testament. You didn't dream this up yourself. Of course Allah is in the Old Testament. That's where your religion came from. It's from the ancient Hindu religion and the ancient Hebrew. And people have no idea in the world where Islam came from, how it developed. And it's all based on moon worship. It's all based on the worship of the moon. And Allah was simply a word in the Islamic tongue. Allah is simply the word for God.
Yeah, and it seems God like
was the moon.
It seems like it's like a lot of religions have been kind of hijacked over the centuries, merely for their own agenda.
Well, that's exactly right. All these religions have all come from the same place. That's why you will find Allah mentioned in the Bible. Because Allah is a moon god. And Moses, again, we're talking Judaism now. Moses was the leader of a lunar cult. Moses was a worshiper of the moon god Allah, or Yahweh. It's overwhelming in your face when you begin to do some research on what Moses means. Moses was not an actual person. Moses is a name, is a word in the Egyptian language, which means something. And so I'm telling you, there was no Moses. And even the Hebrew authorities today, with the Jewish reference works, would tell you that Moses never lived. There was no such a man named Moses. There was no, as I said to you before, the Hebrew reference works, encyclopedias in Hebrew, will tell you there was no Moses, there was no Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no King Solomon, there was no King David. King David never lived. There were no such people. These were all stories. And so the god of the ancient, what we call the ancient people of the Middle East, the ancient Israelites, supposedly, they were all moon worshippers, the worshippers of the moon. So Moses was the leader of a moon cult.
So Jordan, we see a lot of Muslims getting angry when Muhammad is portrayed in a bad light in cartoons and stuff like this. Now, is Muhammad, was he a fictional character or was he real?
Well, there's a lot there. You know, there's a professor, a black professor in Chicago who's written quite a few books. I think his name is Dr. Walter. Can't remember his last name right now. I'll think of it. He's written quite a few books on the history of religion, Christianity, Judaism, and his latest one is on the history of Islam, in which he is saying that Muhammad never lived. There was no such a man as Muhammad. Well, I tend to think that there might be something to that, because I know for a fact there was no King David, there was no King Solomon, there was no Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. None of those names were real people who actually lived. We know that for a fact. And so, and we know also know, if you were intellectually honest and have done your homework, you know that Jesus, as an actual man, never existed. So when you begin to break down the origins of these different religions, you begin to see it's actually based on something called astral theology, the worship of the heavens, worship of the sun, the worship of the moon, the worship of the constellations of the zodiac. The constellations, there are 12 of them. And the 12 constellations, gives us the 12 brothers of Joseph, and the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest, and the 12 apostles. Everything is 12 in the Old and New Testament, 12, 12, 12. Look in the back of the Bible and look at how many times the word 12 is used. You'll see it's hundreds of times everywhere in the Bible is 12. Well, based on 12 signs of the zodiac, 12 months of the year, the 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of darkness. The 12 is a very important number in the esoteric world of the Arabic and the Jewish and Christian world. There was no Jesus. There was no Muhammad. There was no Allah. It's all based on moon worship, sun worship, or generally speaking, astral theology, which is the complete worship of the heavens.
And Jordan, I think when you look at the Islamic symbols, they actually give it away, because mainly it's a green flag you will see, and it'll be the moon and a star below it. Now that star, I've heard you saying that that's actually one of the planets. Could you talk to that, to the listeners?
Yeah, that's Venus. Venus is referred to as Lucifer. And so if you want to talk about Lucifer, Lucifer was the planet Venus. And so that's a whole story in itself, Lucifer worship, or the worship of Venus. We know that Venus is very important in Islam because the color, the ancient prehistoric world assigned colors to the different planets. The planet Mars was, of course, red. And Saturn's color was black. And so we know that in the ancient world, the color for Venus was green. So today, in all Islamic flags and coats of arms in the Islamic countries, green is very important color in Islam. Why? Because green is the color of Venus, the planet Venus. As I said, Venus is referred to as the morning star or Lucifer. So if you want to talk about Lucifer, you're talking about the planet Venus, you're talking about Islam. Islam is a Luciferian religion because it's based on Lucifer, or it's based on the worship of the moon god, which was connected to Venus, Lucifer. My God, where do you start? We only have an hour to talk about this. And I have always said that the most important thing that when you're discussing these subjects is you need to see with your eyes, not just hear with your ears, but you need to see with your eyes the documents, the books, the hundreds of reference books that are in all the the language of the world, the Hebrew reference works, Jewish reference works, all the research that's been done on all of these religions, and you begin to see that there's just an enormous amount of material out there showing you that all of these religions are man-made, and they're all basically based on astrotheology, the worship of the heavens.
The so, moon, Jordan, what are we actually stars. Watching then when we see the pilgrimages over to Mecca and we see them circling the big black cube? What is that we're actually watching there?
Well, that has to do with Saturn, that Kaaba. The Kaaba is a black square. It has to do with the planet Saturn. That's a very, very, I think, probably one of the most important facets of the occult religions of this world and how it impacts us politically is this Kaaba. Because in the Kaaba, as I said, is a square building covered in black and is referred to as the cube. The Kaaba simply means cube and the square. Well, the cube, the black cube or the black square is a symbol for the planet Saturn. So now you have another one of these planets in our solar system now involved with Islam. You've got Venus. Allah is a moon god. Now with the Kaaba, that introduces Saturn now into the mix. And so Saturn's symbol is a black cube. Well, that is a very deep subject when you go into why was Saturn referred to, its color of Saturn was black. Why? Why did all the ancient peoples of the world accept that the color representing Saturn was black? Why? Why is it that all the ancient and prehistoric religions of the world realized that Saturn's symbol should be a black square? Why is it that Mecca is a black square? And today, you just go on the web and type in black cube or black square, and you will see all over the world, corporations and big companies and governments have buildings based on the black square. Many, many buildings around the world are black squares and have black cubes. Well, that's a whole subject in itself, and that brings in, when you talk about the black cube of Saturn, now you're talking about Nazism, Adolf Hitler, and the World Revolutionary Movement's use of Saturnian symbols. It's all very, very deep and dark stuff. And if you need to take a long time to look at these subjects and find out where they've all come from. Believe me, there's a bigger story here about how Saturn, the moon, Venus, Lucifer, Venus, how all of these religions and ideas, religious ideas and concepts, how they have impacted our modern day religions, and all we're doing now is fighting each other. The Jews are fighting the Arabs are fighting the Christians are killing, and so it's wars all over the world based on old ancient pagan religions that nobody seems to have figured out. It's all astrotheology. It's all astrology. It's all based on the ancient gods of the ancient prehistoric world. Who in the world knows that today? And Jordan, Jews will never accept that. Christians will never accept that. The Islamic people will never accept that because they don't want to look at the truth. They don't want to look at what the real story of where their religions really come from. That's what I do. I'm tired of all of them.
And Jordan, the things you've been speaking about over the decades, you're watching them unfolding right now. What do you see, say, 10 years down the road from now? Where do you see the world being?
Well, the guy who wrote 1984, George Orwell, in England, he was interviewed after that book came out, 1984. And they asked him, what do you think the world being like? After reading your book, it's very scary. What do you really feel the world is going to be like in the future? And he said, and I totally agree with him, he said the future of this world basically is an iron boot on the face of a child. An iron boot crushing the head or the face of a child. And I'm saying that is precisely what I think. I think that's exactly right. That the future of the human race is an iron boot that's going to come crashing down on innocence, on the innocent people of this world, on the innocent young children. It's going to be a horrible, detestable world that we live in with nothing but iron boots. If you think Nazism was bad, wait till you see what's coming on the earth. So I don't see any, I don't want to be around for what's coming, because I already know what's coming. I've been talking about it for 50 years. I've been talking about it professionally on radio for about 40 years. I see the future is going to be a despotic, dark, and evil place where corruption is going to rule as king, and people are going to be thrown into concentration camps. It's going to be a very, very sad place for the human race.
Well, Jordan, I think that's probably going to start when America loses its guns. And the way it's going just now, that's looking likely, because we're starting to see spates now almost every day of people being shot. We've got Obama coming out and telling everybody that it's not safe to live in America anymore. And I think once they do take the guns off the Americans, I think that's when everything will kick off.
Well, I've said this, even on your show, I've said this before. People have no power in this world to do anything. The people of this world and any country, especially in my country of America, the people have no power to do anything. They are not able to effect a change of any kind. And the reason why, generally speaking, around the world, people of the world have no real power to do anything, because knowledge is power. And the people have no knowledge whatsoever of how the world actually works. And so if you have no knowledge about how an automobile works, you're not going to be able to tune it up. You're not going to be able to work on it, because you don't know how it works to start with. And so that's what I have been trying to tell people for years, is you need to wake up, educate yourself on how the world actually works. It doesn't work the way you think it does. Nothing works the way you think it does.
Jordan, that's why it's a privilege for us to welcome you back every week, because even in the 4 weeks you've been on so far, I've learned so much that I already thought I knew from watching videos on YouTube of your work and stuff like that. But you've really hammered home a few points to me. And there's 5 minutes left. What would you like to talk about just before we go out tonight?
Well, I want people to understand I'm not here to belittle anyone's faith. My mother, my dear mother, and my family were all Catholics. I'm not condemning Catholic people. My mother was a Catholic. My whole family were Catholics. I'm not condemning the Catholic people. I'm talking about the facts of life. Where did the different religions and political organizations and educational institutes and governmental systems and banking institutes, where did all of this stuff come from? Where did it come from? Trace back governments, religions, educational institutes, belief systems, philosophies. Go back in the history and find out where all of this stuff developed, where it came from, because today we are living in chaos and ignorance. People have no idea in the world what's going on. It's because knowledge is power. And unless and until you get knowledge about the world you live in, you're never going to be able to understand it or do anything about it. So that's what I'm trying to do, is get people to, I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything. But I wish, I was wanting to have people do their own research. Today, we have so many opportunities to learn with the web, with libraries, with all kinds of institutions who are offering education. but the people are more ignorant today than they've ever been. So all I'm saying is that you need to wake up and take responsibility for yourself and find out where your religions have come from, where your governments have come from. And it's quite simply the pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. That's all it is. I've always been interested in pursuing wisdom and knowledge and helping my fellow man to see where to go to look for knowledge. Very simple. It's all there if you just look for it yourself.
Well, Jordan,
again, I think it would be important to just say, go to my website, Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W. Very simple.
Well, Jordan
Maxwell Show, and that's where I am. If you want to contact me, it's all right there.
Maybe it's because I haven't been looking at the information as long as you, but I like to call myself an apocalyptic optimist. Basically, I do see it's going the way you're talking about. However, I do think we have a chance, and I think using the internet and things like that to our advantage, while they're still here, before they try and shut that down because of the positive effect it's having, I think we are the light in this world, and only with the knowledge that people like you and other researchers pass on to us can we even hope to combat it. But I do think there is hope for us, and it's thanks to the work that you've done and others out there that we do have that chance. So I just want to thank you again, Jordan, for everything you've done over the years, and hopefully, just hopefully, you'll agree to come back on maybe sometime and speak about something else.
Well, I think it'd be love to. Let's do it as soon as possible. I'm always delighted to come on the show.
That sounds brilliant, Jordan. Same time, same place next week, no doubt. It seems to be Tuesday night is Jordan Maxwell night, and I am absolutely loving it. And I can tell from the chat room out there, they're loving it too. And they're a bit worried because it does sound a bit negative what we're talking about, folks. But like I say, it's up to us. If we just sit back and rest on our laurels, this will keep moving on the way it has been over all the centuries, over all the millennia. However, it is up to us. We hold all the power. We are the gods, in my opinion. Everything is inside us. That's how far we have to look. And once we all realise that and we pass it on to those others around us, maybe, just maybe, we can turn this round. So, Jordan, I want to thank you again for coming on tonight. It's been absolutely fascinating. I've been sitting here listening on tender hooks most of the night. Thank you again, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, like I say, sir, I've got so much respect for you any time at all. And Johnny Whistles, you haven't been whistling so much tonight. I want to tell the listeners out there, we usually call him Johnny Whistles because obviously his S's on the microphone used to rattle people's eardrums. But we finally solved that problem. And Johnny, what's it like to be S-free?
Sausages.
See, there you go. That would usually have sent dogs going mad in people's homes. But now it's okay. So have you enjoyed tonight, John?
This has been brilliant. It's been a great night, Kevin. Went in really fast again, man. Usually with Jordan, though.
I mean, it's kind of getting cliche now. We call it the fastest info-filled hour here on TFR. But it certainly does prove to be that some nights. And it helps when you've got guests like Jordan Maxwell to call on to come on and speak to the listeners. So for another night, folks, remember, wherever you are, make it TFR.